It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
A lot of really good chances. We really cleaned up our entries. You know, we worked hard on that the previous 3 days. You know, getting in the zone cleaner. There's so much good stuff, and I'm going to have to sit here and be pissed off about the end of the game.
That's where it got away from the Sabres as they fall 3-1 to the Kings. Lindy would go on to say that you're not going to win scoring one goal per game. There is only one team in the NHL so far this year that has won when scoring but one goal. That was Montreal over Toronto, 1-0. Marty, if the focus has been on the power play this week, what would the focus be on today in advance of tomorrow's game against the Florida Panthers, who lost last night in Ottawa?
I'm sure that Lindy Ruff and his staff are going to show the guys the scoring chances that they created, because they created a lot of them, and just give them an idea of, hey, okay, this is what the position you put yourself in. See it, visualize it, right? Because you're better at most of the guys that got the scoring chances are good scorers. They're good players. They can score goals. Like, see it. See that you have room to shoot at. See that you can beat a goaltender one-on-one. I think that's what I would focus on. Now, the game yesterday was, in large part, 90% of the game was really good. Really, really good. In creating offense, in defending, in puck possession, and everything. There was two parts of the game that wasn't good. Your 5-on-3 for a minute 9 was not good. And look, we can look at the setup in zone. We can look at how they lost valuable time on that 5-on-3 that they had to go back twice to get the puck and break out and come back in. That's a big part of it. And the Samuelson penalty, which Lindy's already talked about it. He said, lack of composure. You're 5-on-4. You're in a 1-1 tie game. It's late in the third period. I get what Samuelson is trying to do. He's trying to get body and stick positioning on his player in the corner. But you cannot come down in the way that he did on top of the stick and with a broken stick on the LA Kings player, expect not to get called. That's an easy call for the referee who's standing right there in the other corner. So, yeah, those were the two points of the game. Now, I can analyze the rest of it and, you know, what they did great, and nobody wants to hear that. They're 0-3, but that's really how I see the game yesterday and what I think the message is this morning.
The Samuelson penalty wouldn't have occurred had Buffalo been at even strength, I would presume. And the only reason they were down a man already was because of the call on Zucker, which is the more controversial of the two in the minds of many. I look at it this way. I have watched way too much sports in my life only to realize that some things are true, which is star players get the benefit of most calls in all sports. Peter Forsberg is a legend in the game for the exact play that Jason Zucker made last night on Brant Clark. Is it interference? In my opinion, 100%, because Clark isn't even able to get to the puck yet. And that's not what they called, by the way. They called roughing, correct?
Yeah, because they hit to the head, basically.
Right. But anyway, you get my point. If he were, and it's kind of saying something when he's played 700 games in the NHL and has a pretty nice resume and is a respected player. It's kind of crazy to me that that penalty gets called. However,
well,
until team fortunes change, you tend not to get calls like that in your face. That's my belief in the overarching look at professional sports.
It's like that in football. It's like that in baseball. A good pitcher gets the call an inch off the plate, and a bad pitcher or a rookie pitcher is not going to get that call. Mm-hmm. That's the way it goes. Now, Peter Forsberg is a different time of the game, the way it was played. And I think the league has, and the referees have been basically told that to watch that reverse hit, right? Because J.P. Dumont used to do it all the time. J.P. Dumont wasn't a superstar and would get away with it.
Daniel used to do it a lot for Ottawa. Alfredson. And like, I remember playing the Sabres a gazillion times a year. Everybody saw it.
With the Rangers, Derek Stepan used to do it all the time. Actually got suspended one time because his elbow came back and hit somebody in the head and he got a suspension. Mm-hmm. But there was no call on the play. So the problem that I have with the Zucker hit, and I was talking to, and I know Sabres fans are going to say, why are you talking to this guy? But Brian Smolinski was at the game last night. I talked to him after the game. We were talking about that exact play. And just kind
Can
of picking.
Can you characterize, like, put into context why you were talking to Brian, i.e. what is he doing now? Because people,
yes,
no matter what position he's holding, people would like to wipe the smug look off his face.
Yes, okay. So Brian Smolinski's son plays for RPI. RPI is in town to play Canisius. So RPI, like, they were here last night to practice and whatnot. Yeah. So that's number one. Number two, Brian Smolinski is working with the NHL at the Learn to Play program. So he works closely with Ed Grzynski, Rich Jarrell, our community relations department. Mm-hmm. He's here a few times a year. Does an unbelievable job with the grassroots programs, the Learn to Skate, Learn to Play program. And that's why he's in Buffalo often, you know, to be able to talk to Pat Coletta about it and everything. So, and Smo's a good guy. He is an arrogant little, you know what, when he was on the ice, but he's a good guy.
I believe so, cocky is the nicer version. Maybe it's not.
Yeah,
what's more of a criticism of somebody? Arrogant or cocky?
Yeah,
I guess cocky. They're almost in the same package. You can't really be one or the other, right?
Yeah, it's the same thing. But so we're talking about it. And I kind of brought it back up on my phone to rewatch it, whatnot. I think the difference in that call, I like a player that protects the puck and kind of stiffens up. Mm-hmm. If you go back and watch the Zucker penalty, which Lindy was like, I didn't like the call. And he was yelling and at the bench where you're yelling. And it's I wouldn't have called it in 3 minutes left in the game, 1-1 game. If I'm the referee, I probably don't call it. But
Marty, why though? A penalty's a penalty. Can we get away from that archaic
thinking? But I don't know, because you play a hard game. It's a hard game, and you make a hard play.
It's hard in the first minute most games if it's being played properly.
You've watched enough sports, Duffer, to know that these calls sometimes get not called late. We argue they should,
but it's because we fabricate this myth that they shouldn't be called late. How about we be honest and have integrity from start to finish in games?
And the star players should be called just like the rookies. I get that. That's not the way it is. I'm not going to reinvent the wheel on it. That's the way the
Somebody
sports
needs
is always going
to be. The wheel.
It's not going
to
happen. We can't take on
courage.
All the
Somebody
worst problem in
guts.
One situation. And it's, excuse me, wrong pipe.
Well, I can't help it because my pipes are clogged. So you're on your own.
But when Zucker reverse hits Clark, he lets go of the puck completely. He has the puck. He sees him come in. Doesn't even touch the puck, right? He never established control or possession of the puck. He knows the puck is in the vicinity, and he has two hands on the stick up in the air. Stick is off the ice, and he reverses. And after he makes contact, the referee, probably in the back corner, sees an elbow come up. The elbow didn't make a contact. Sees the elbow come up and sees Clark get hit in the face. Now, you and I both know the referees went to the penalty bench, and they discussed it. Hey, what did you see there? Because I saw an elbow to the head. Are we calling a 5 illegal hit to the head? The other referee probably said, no, the elbow was good. It was after it came up, but he did make contact. That we got to call roughing on that play or interference probably. But I think they discussed it. One referee saw it one way. They talked about it. Is it a penalty? Yeah, probably. Yeah. Is it a bad time? Absolutely. Was it bad because Matthias Samuelsson took a slashing penalty and compounded everything? Yeah. Yes, it was. And was it bad because the Sabres, like, grade A chances in the game, Duffer, okay, were 6-0 for Buffalo. High danger chances by Natural Stat Trick were 20-6 for Buffalo.
All situations. Is important to note because that includes shorthanded, where Buffalo generated an awful lot last night too.
A ton. But that 20-4, 20-6, that +14, okay, Mm-hmm. From the start of the 2022-2023 season, where the Sabres scored a ton of goals, Tage Thompson 47, you know, Tuck 38, whatever. They never had a plus 14 high danger chances game in the last 2+ years. Never. They had plus 14 in high danger chances last night. They had 6-0 in grade A chances and lose the game 3-1 in an empty net. Like, I'll take that. I'll take that every night. And unfortunately, the 5-on-3 didn't work, and you took those two penalties at the end of the game. Everything else, bottle it, bring it back at it again tomorrow night. I think it's fine. And I know they're 0-3. And fans are going to say, they're 0-3. They could be 0-4 after tomorrow. I get it. And I almost want to throw in the garbage the two games in Prague against New Jersey and say this is going to be an 80-game season, because that team in New Jersey, against New Jersey in those two games, did not look anything like the Sabres looked last night. For whatever reason, the travel, well, everything had happened.
You can keep doing this for the first 2 weeks if you want to minimize the season. The Los Angeles Kings hadn't played a game. So the reason Buffalo looked good last night is because they were playing a team that had never played. Like, that can be a real and accurate assessment.
That could be an accurate, yes.
I'm not saying it is, but if you're going to start picking and choosing what games to dismiss on the calendar, I think it's a dangerous avenue to go down. It's an 82-game season.
I remember doing it last year, because after the first 2 games last year,
and you didn't get them.
Yeah, so. After 2 games last year, I said, okay, let's throw away those 2 games, and let's do 10-game segments from now on. 8 10-game segments, or 16 5-game segments, and we're going to throw the first 2 games. I did the same thing last year. And maybe that's my glass-half-full player mentality, that I always think of what's the next step. What do I have to do next? How do I get better?
Well,
I look at, okay, like, the Sabres have had to work extremely hard to score goals. Like, the Tuck goal in game two in Prague was not Tuck. Thompson goal in game two in Prague was after a bouncy puck and a scrum in front. Owen Power was the lone goal scorer in game one in Prague, and Tuck had to get a breakaway and a rebound to score a goal yesterday. Look, I think they are snake bitten, because they're guys that can score a ton. And right now you have to work like 500% compared to what usually you have to do to try to score a goal.
So based on that comment that you just said, using the word snake bit, which Lindy Ruff used last night, because he was asked specifically, used that word in the question. People reaching on social at Sabres Live, does snake bit equal lack of finishers?
Yeah. Well, I know. I don't think they have a lack of finishing talent. Cousins had 6 shots on goal yesterday and some really good looks. Thompson, I mean, that chance in the third period, Kemper makes a glove save. That's a great chance, right? Mm-hmm. You had Tuck with some good looks. You had McLeod. Obviously, we don't know Ryan McLeod all that much yet. The thing in Edmonton is McLeod gets a lot of chances, and he has a harder time finishing. I get that. But he had some really good looks. Now, Kemper makes a, you know, highlight real save with the stick coming back on the goal line, just like Markstrom did on Obi Kubel game one. Yeah, I get that. Benson had a goal, but it was after the time expired. There was some good looks. Thompson beats Kemper 5-0. The 5-0, and it hits the post behind him and comes out. Like, he thought he was beat. He thought it was 2-1 Buffalo. The goalie was like looking up like, oh man, I can't believe I gave up that goal. I think they have finisher, but I'm going to use the word snake bitten right now. Now, if in 2 weeks from now we're sitting where Thompson only has 1 goal and Tuck only has 1 goal and Dahlin has 0 goals, and then I'm going to say, okay, now you're having an issue in finishing, and that needs to be the focus. Right now I'm just going to say they're snake bitten, because the numbers, you know, you look at, you know, the grade A chances, McLeod had 2, Tuck had 2, Zucker had 1, the B chances, Thompson had 3, Cousins had 2. Like, those are exactly the guys you would want to get those chances.
McLeod lobbied pretty hard to get the penalty shot call and got it. It was his first ever penalty shot attempt. He's never had a shootout attempt in the NHL, so he remains 0-for in that regard. Darcy Kemper, 3-for-4 lifetime in stopping penalty shots. And it really matters not, just like Benson not beating the buzzer at the end of the first. It matters not. But do you think we'll see more penalty shots called on plays like that are closer to the neutral zone than they are to the net?
We saw a ton of penalty shots called early in the season last year. It was like, oh, called penalty shots on everything, right? It was like,
oh yeah, we were on pace for like 400 of them, and then
we were on pace for an amazing amount of penalty shots, and then it kind of went away. Number one, the players are going to get smarter, and they know that if penalty shots are being called, then you don't hook at the blue line or in the neutral zone. And two, I think it's just, you know, referees are going to, well, okay, well, we called them early, and now unless it's a very, very flagrant foul, we're not going to call it. That's fine. Look, that was, McLeod had so many short-handed chances at that point, and that's another one on the penalty shot. That would have been a difference. We have to pick Alexis Leader every night, after the Sabres games and the post game. And my first and only reaction was Anze Kopitar. He has a hat trick, starts the third period with a goal, finishes the third period with the two goals. But you mentioned Darcy Kuemper, and I can't believe I didn't give the goalie more love reviewing the tape this morning and reviewing the numbers. I'm like, no, you know what? It was absolutely a big factor. That game should have been 3-4, or maybe 3-4-1 in the third period. And it wasn't because of Darcy Kuemper. Now, Kopitar scores the goals. So yeah, Lexus Leader for him. But Kuemper was a big, big reason for the way that the Kings were able to come back.
Kuemper was named the game's number one star in arena at KeyBank Center last night. So with that, now it's the Panthers, and they're practicing today, the Sabres, that is, and Peterka is out there, but Owen Power is not. So if we have the chance to give you an update before the end of the show, we will. If not, stay with Sabres social media and Sabres.com for the latest in that regard. If Peterka comes back, what do the lines look like based on the fact that last night, Benson, while playing with Thompson and Tuck, had like 80% Corsi. Like they had a lot. Yeah, now, all that being said, this is part two of the question. Despite the numbers situationally, possession, shot attempt-wise, and with certain lines, despite so many glowing numbers for the Sabres, could they have done a lot more? Meaning, I was a little surprised at the end of the first and the end of the second when we show you offensive zone possession numbers. I was surprised how close they were based on the wide gap. So was Buffalo like just having a gazillion one and done chances, in your opinion? Could they have gotten more second chances, more greasy, if you want to keep using that? Like, how did you view that? And thus, if Peterka comes back and does Benson stay on the line he was on? Does he move? How do you view all of that? That's a lot. Sorry.
No, that's great. Rebound chances yesterday, the Sabres really had two, right? Like, the LA Kings had none. The LA Kings did not have a lot of offense in the game. Like, to be honest with you, they didn't even get to, I think it was a 1.5 goals expected. And then you add the empty netter, so they went up a full goal. Like, an empty net is basically a free goal expected, but they didn't create a lot. But the Sabres, I felt, on chances around the net, did not get to the rebound. But look, got to give LA some credit and Kuemper some credit, because 5-on-3, Thompson down the middle, that was really the only good chance. He catches Kuemper kind of underneath the right arm, but he's able to squeeze it. There was a breakaway Connor Clifton. He comes in, gets it tight to go through the legs. Kemper's completely turned around. If the puck is squirted loose, you got two guys there ready to put it in. There was nothing. Like, he was very sticky in the game yesterday, which didn't allow for the Sabres to get second opportunities, but they created enough on first opportunities. So if Peterka comes back, absolutely, Peterka goes with Thompson and Tuck. And I think absolutely Benson comes back with Cousins and Quinn. Now, some people may say, okay, but Jack Quinn is looking lost out there. And you are right. Jack Quinn is looking like he's second-guessing everything. Like, the 5-on-3, I feel like Jack Quinn didn't even know where to stand. He was standing in the, like, right side of the net, like, he was almost lost. And then he has the first entry and he turns it over and it goes all the way down. I feel like Jack's in his head right now. So what do you do if you're Lindy Ruff? You obviously have to have that conversation, but do you say, okay, we're going to go Kulik, Cousins, Benson on the second line. And Jack, you know what? You may take a step back and we're going to manage you a little bit more. Or do you keep him there to help with his confidence and it's going to come? So there is some lineup changes potentially, in my opinion, that may have to look at that. And two, what do you do on the back end? Look, I mean, I get it. It's a penalty on Matthias Samuelsson. We had him on the show yesterday, and he's going to be a big part of this team moving forward. Samuelsson is. I like the size. I like the way that he plays. But in three games, there was a moment in every one of those games where you're like, hey, that's tough luck, Matthias. Like, first goal against New Jersey, game one. He goes up the wall with it, turnover, it's in the net. Then he lays down on the one. Then there's the penalty. So I think that there's obviously maybe some personal changes going to affect the roster going into tomorrow that I could see happen.
Jordan Greenway skated before practice. He's not with the main group. Potential that he's just getting a little bit of a rest. We'll see on that. Therefore, it's hard to read into the lines with Greenway not being a part of the mix also. Yep. But let me say it, you were wrong, because Benson is with Thompson and Tuck. And
An opinion is never wrong. That's my opinion. But if I said that's what they will do, and then I'm wrong, then I'm okay with that.
Do we have to identify every time you open your mouth whether you're fact-based or opinion-based? Because it's can't keep track.
It's usually opinion-based, but that's okay.
Well, there's a lot of... So at the end of all of that, how then do you get Quinn and Cousins specifically going and more of the secondary chances? Because the reason I asked about, like, did they actually get enough rebounds and second looks last night? And this is not a straight across comparison, but like, did you see how many absolutely crappy goals were scored in the league last night?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Like, look at Macklin Celebrini's first goal.
Yeah.
It's a joke. And there were like nine of them that went in off of defensemen. And I just, that's where I sit and I go, like, if Buffalo's down around the crease, like, can they not like get a bounce here off of somebody? Because Samuelsson told it yesterday, like when he's on the show, like, just be in the blue paint and create chaos. There's not a lot defensemen can do sometimes in those situations, right?
No, and obviously if you're big, it's going to be harder for anybody to move you out. I think that is, there's two ways to look at it. I absolutely hate when I'm in coaching minor hockey or, you know, anything, when it's like, let's get it to the point and shoot it on net, because let's get a bounce, right? Because that is, you're resorting to, let's hope to get a bounce. I think the Sabres have way more skills to just hope to get a bounce. They should, but right now, if you're snake bitten, you got to at least try to put some things on your side and say, hey, you know what? Let's get one off our pants, off my head, off my back, and go in. And that could open some type of floodgate. So I get that point. That cannot be your primary option to scoring goals. But when you've only scored 1-1-1, despite the scoring chances in last night's game, okay, you know what? Let me see if I can get a lot of shots. You know, Dahlin can shoot the puck a lot more than what he's shot. Byram can shoot the puck more. Mm-hmm. Power hit a crossbar early, but he can shoot the puck. I feel like everybody, they've got the defenseman to get it through. Okay, let's put that in the golf bag right here. Let's bring that club to the next time we play, because you know what? The other clubs aren't working so much right now. I know this club's going to maybe get me a boost.
Well, there was another comment sent our way on X at Sabres Live that involved the word skill, which you just spoke of. And based on recency bias, yes, Shayna Goldman is coming up in mere moments here on Sabres Live. The recency being they had a big drop in goal scoring last year.
Yes.
Now they're still not scoring through the first, albeit, three games.
Mm-hmm.
Are they a skilled team? Should they be thinking they're a skilled team? Are they not a skilled team? should they be thinking of different ways to score? Like,
I think what they are, and Shayna will say it, and what they were 2 years ago was a rush team, a team that scored a ton on the rush. Again, yesterday, you talk about zone time possession.
Yeah.
They had a ton of chances, in my opinion, but not enough zone time to wear another team's down. Mm-hmm. And the chances, McLeod on a breakaway, Thompson partial breakaway, Tuck breakaway, it's a lot, Clifton breakaway, it's a lot of rush chances.
Yeah.
Rush chances are one and done, obviously, usually because you don't have a lot of bodies going. You have one guy, two guys, that's what it is. So their identity is they are a rush team. That's what they were 2 years ago. Last year, teams prepared for that and countered that. You have to develop a secondary identity of being able to grind teams down in their zones, mm-hmm. right? And when you lose the puck, you get right back on that and you get it back. I like what they've done better than last year, where if they have an issue in the defensive zone, they shoot it off the glass and out. Like, we haven't seen the let's bring it back in the corner, let's bring it back behind the net as much as we had the last few years, which is a good step from developing this, hey, we're not going to spend too much time in our own zone, which was an issue last year, but they have to develop this. We have to spend more time in the offensive zone. We can't just be about rush chances.
Amherst have their home opener tonight. It's against Belleville, and hopefully it's a big crowd at Blue Cross Arena. I'm sorry to miss it, but I'm going on 6 weeks under the weather, so I'm just going to lay low. And from that, we look forward to seeing all the youngsters again, right? Yeah. Like dotted through that Amherst lineup tonight. Who's your one focal point?
Oh, I think Noah Oslin and yeah. Anton Wahlberg are my focals.
Well, that's not one, so pick one.
Focals point, because I add an S to everything. So when I put it in the computer, you said focal. I wanted to say focals, and I'm getting
focus.
I got two guys.
Natural S there on that one. Yeah. Well, mini packs, because there are many more home games at KeyBank Center this year, including tomorrow against the Panthers. You can grab mini packs for this season, bundle up five or more, pick the matchups you want, seat, obviously, locations that work best for you, and enjoy savings at the box office. So from a pricing standpoint, this makes a ton of sense. Visit sabres.com/minipacks to purchase yours today. Shayna Goldman from The Athletic is next on Sabres Live.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.